Are you responsible for your children's sin? Are you responsible for your parents? You're like, nah, forget that, right? Like, nah, okay? I want you to think, do you carry responsibility over that? Okay? Think about it. Talk with each other. Take a few minutes. Debating, you probably won't get to a bottom answer. Okay, how many, just in general, how many are no's? How many no's? Like, no, you're not responsible. How many yeses? Like, yeah. How many, it's complicated? All right, yeah. Like a lot of my college relationships. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. You know, this whole theme of being vessels of honor for God's purposes is what we're talking about, right? That we do special work, right, for God or in God's name or for God's purposes. We do things, and I think pretty much what we, the works that we're tasked to do are basically continuing the works that Jesus started here on earth, right? Works of the kingdom, right? Works that he was ministering, he was empowering us through the Holy Spirit to continue in his name to do. I would argue that some of those works that we are supposed to engage in directly have to do with restoration, particularly of sin. I think I would say we carry responsibility. But I'd also say it's a little complicated. I would say we don't carry blame. I think we all will be held. The passage we're gonna go into, we'll talk about this. But we are like in community, tightly knit community with one another. Or that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be this company of people walking, discerning the Holy Spirit, and following along in this journey. We are supposed to be so intertwined that we hurt when one is hurting, and we rejoice when one is rejoicing. That we feel each other's pains and struggles, and that we come alongside each other in them.
Sorry.
You're good. I want to continue on from the passage that we talked about this morning, the fruit of the Spirit passage, the walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. As I mentioned, it's a communal experience. And these last two messages, I want to talk about the community of Christ. Some of the purposes that we are supposed to fulfill with one another. And I definitely think dealing with sin is one of them. And we're going to see it's commanded. How do you restore? How does the community restore someone in sin? Let me read Galatians 5:25. I tack 25 on because I think the people who did the chapters got it wrong. Or 26, I mean, actually. I'm going to read 5:26 through 6, I think 13, or 6:10. Whoops. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we just want to hear from you. We want to see the truth of your word come alive, Lord, in our community, in our lives, in our experiences. And I pray that you would speak today, that you speak tonight. We offer this time to you. We ask that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I think I was probably in maybe fourth grade, maybe fifth grade. Normally what would happen is me and my brother, my parents worked, right? And so me and my brother would come home from school and we'd be in the house alone on our own, you know, doing our own thing until my parents came home. We got very, very good at hearing the garage door opening, right? And I don't know if your kids, like if you're home and you wait, right? The garage door, you hear it moving, then you like clean up all the video games or other things that you shouldn't have been doing. You put out your books like you've been studying this whole time, right? And so we had a system down, this like warning system down of like, hey, what to do when we know parents are coming home. And my brother was in the basement and he was, I don't know what he was doing, right? I was like upstairs watching TV. And apparently this one day my mom, I guess her car broke down or something, and she didn't come home through the garage. She came home, she got a ride home from a coworker, and she invited that coworker in, but so she came through the front door. Unfortunately for my brother, he was happening to come up the stairs of the basement right as my mom was opening the front door. But he hit his foot on a step. And my brother had a little bit of a potty mouth. And so he hits his foot on the step as my mom is opening the door, and he just yells the loudest F-bomb, like, you know, like, he's like, "Mom!" Right? And then that's what my mom, like, "Welcome in, come to my home, right, coworker? Let me invite you in for a drink." And then, like, my brother, his, like, foot hurts. He's a poor guy, right? His foot, like, "Ah," right? And then he sees my mom. He's like, "Ah," right? And, like, my mom is like,
Ben, go to your room right now, right? Like, you know, like, and then my brother, I think he was just like overwhelmed by the emotion. He just starts crying, right? And just like goes upstairs and I'm like, I'm good. Like, now I don't even need to worry. She doesn't even care if I was watching TV, right? Because like all of this happened. She's like apologizing to her coworkers. I'm so sorry, right? And then she went upstairs. I don't know how gently she restored my brother from from his sin. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Yeah, he got caught. I mean, maybe in her mind, he got restored as well, all in the same breath. But, you know, this passage talks about the community response to sin in the community, right? It talks about this commandment or this responsibility that we have a job or a role to play. So maybe when you think responsible, like it's not my fault, right? I don't take blame for that. Maybe that's what you think of responsibility. But there is something about the way that we are supposed to be that should restore. Before we unpack this, I think we need to think about a few things or broaden some definitions, because I have had a picture of this that has been hard for me to understand this passage. First of all, when we talk about sin, what is sin? Most of the times we're talking about or thinking about the things that we actively do. Commission, right? The sins of commission, the things we actively do against God, the bad thing you do. My brother cussing, right? Like, you know, being angry, right? Like fighting, right? Like lusting over things, right? Like being whatever it is. That's not all sin. I just would define sin as everything not God, right? And everything that is affected by that. Sin is a sickness as well. Sin is brokenness as well. Sin is everything that does not, sin is a failure to love the way that we're meant to. Sin is the inability to have compassion and care and joy. The sin affects how we see ourselves, our identity, right? If we have broken identity, and I don't put any blame on this sin, I'm just saying this is my broad definition of sin. A lot of times when we think of this passage, we hear that, like, who's caught in sin? You think of this, like, open the door. Aha! Right? Like, I found you. Caught doesn't necessarily mean that. Some people are stuck. Entangled. Entrapped. You ever try and take something, like, unwrap, like, a bundle of wire that's all like entangled and, you know, like all like messed up, and maybe you've got, you know, some fishing line or something that you didn't wind up correctly or whatever, and you're trying to undo that. Like, you can't just, like, you know, maybe you try, like, oh yeah, let me just like rip it apart. No, you have to do it like very, very surgically, carefully, precisely. Someone who is caught in a sin isn't necessarily like, oh, boom, I found you. You have been exposed. Let me see all of your shame, right? And this picture of my, this picture that I, as I have generally understood it or classically understood it, is that it seems like what happens is someone gets caught, like, boom, aha moment. And then you're like, oh, that's this sin. That person is lying. Now I need to find a spiritual person, right? I need to find a spiritual person who can walk this person. Maybe somebody who had a lying problem before. Clarence, right? Like, you know, like to now counsel this person. Let me teach you how not to lie. And it was always a little weird to me, because then it says, like, but then be careful because you might be tempted. And like, so somehow by trying to restore somebody who's a liar, you might start getting tempted to lie as well. Oh, that's weird, right? And then it has these things where it talks about like how you think about yourself, and be humble, but then it also talks about like being self-sufficient and like letting nobody carry your burden, like being the one who carries other burdens, not carry others. And it's a very confusing passage. Here's what I think it means. The whole this morning's passage, what is the spiritual person? The spiritual person isn't the spiritual elite, the holy, righteous, perfect in all the ways that they do things. The spiritual person is just simply the one who is walking by the Spirit. And we know, as it says in Galatians 5, whoever walks by the Spirit, what? Will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When we think about what does it mean to restore someone from sin, and you who are spiritual are meant to help gently guide them, I think what we're called to do as a community when someone is caught, stuck, trapped, we gently do everything that we can to restore them into relationship with the Spirit. Because as we know, we aren't the ones who transform. We aren't the ones with the power to change somebody, to make somebody better, to make somebody regretful, repentant, or whatever it is. That's not our job. That's not our, we already talked about it, right? Like, you know, you don't, right? Why do the Spirit's work with the flesh? Our job as a community is we restore people into the Spirit, and the temptation isn't that you will start sinning. The temptation is that you will get proud. That when you're restoring somebody, and that's why, right, this is why I tack on the let us not be conceited. And it's all over in Galatians 5 about envying and pride and being cocky, right? Like the way that you restore someone in their sin. The temptation is that you become proud. And the worst thing that you can do, I think, when you're trying to help somebody get out of their sin is to be like, look at me. I don't have a problem with that. Just be like me. Follow what I do. I just don't think about it, right? That person's like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not you, right? We don't have that power. And if you do that, what you are tempted to do, you're just tempted to make people just like you that are just sinful in some other way. Instead, I believe as a community that walks by the Spirit, when we find somebody stuck, caught, trapped, our responsibility is to do whatever we can to restore them into relationship with the Spirit. And when we put that burden on ourselves to make that happen, oh, it gets bad. It gets demanding. It gets petty sometimes. When I was in college, I was living at home. I was probably during a break, and I had to rush to a volleyball tournament at University of Maryland, but it was during the winter, so it was cold. And one thing I do not miss about living in Maryland in the winter is waiting for your windshield to defrost, right? Like you have to turn on the car, you have to like scrape it down or whatever. And so this is bad of me. What I would do sometimes, because I'm too impatient, I'm already running late. You know, if you turn on the defrost, it starts at the bottom, right? You see this like one little sliver that's clear, you know, and it slowly starts to grow. And so I was like, oh, that's enough, right? Like this little, like, I could just look through this, and as I drive, it'll like get bigger and it'll be fine. So I like pull out of my house, I turn on the road, and I'm like driving like in this like little like window of clear, and everything else is foggy. And I make a left turn onto a street, and the sun is, it's early in the morning, so the sun is super low. And so this glare just like, whoom, right? Like I can't see a thing. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. So I start slowing down, and then I hit a brick mailbox in my neighborhood, right? And I'm like, oh man. right? And so I like got out of my car and I'm like, I look at it and it was so, like, I hit a mailbox on the right side of the road with the left side of my car, right? Like, I like misturned like that much. And I'm like, oh man. So I drive home and I'm like, I'm so mad. I remember I was like so upset. I had like a water bottle, I like threw it on the ground. I was like frustrated with myself. I go inside, I tell my mom and dad, like, mom, pop, you know, like I hit that mailbox. I'm really sorry, you know, like whatever. And they're really upset at me, but they know I've got this volleyball tournament. The car is running fine. It's just like, you know, like some cosmetic damage. And so they're like, just go to the tournament, right? And we'll deal with it later. So I'm like, okay, I went to the tournament. I played in the tournament. It's fine. After the tournament, I had a leadership meeting for probably teens group or something, right? And so I went to this leadership meeting and it was fine. And I was giving Lawrence a ride home. And we're driving down, I forgot that road that's where Einstein High School is on, comes down, I don't know, right? Randolph Road, yeah, I'm driving down Randolph Road. And Randolph Road's like a little windy at some points, right? And I'm still a relatively inexperienced driver, and I'm maybe driving a little too fast for myself. And there's this car that's next to me, and we're going through an intersection, and I feel like it gets too close to me, so I like move over to the right, and I'm on the right side of the road. And then when the intersection ends and the curb comes up, boom, I hit both of my tires against the curb. I pop both tires. I break the axle to the car. I got into two car accidents in less than 12 hours, right? Like, it was like the worst day of my life, right? I pull over into a gas station and my car steering is like 90 degrees, like to stay straight up. Like my car wheel is like this. And I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna get it. I call my dad. He's like, I'll call AAA, we'll do what we can. The AAA guy comes and he's like, you're gonna need a lot more work than what I can do. I can just like replace the flat tires, you know, and then you should probably get it towed somewhere. My dad doesn't want it to tow it somewhere. So what he does is he drives Lawrence home and he says like, figure out how to get home, right? So I drive this Honda Accord on this broken axle, like home, right? Like really slowly, cautiously. And so, as I'm going home, I'm telling myself, like, Clarence, whatever you get, you deserve. like Clarence, like, just eat it, right? Like, you know, right? Like, you are about to experience, like, the full wrath of, you know, whatever, right? Like, of my parents, and I'm like, I deserve it. I'm like praying. I'm like, God, I know, I'm sorry, right? Whatever is coming, I'll take it. And so I get to my house, you know, my dad's already home from dropping Lawrence off. And I come into the kitchen and they just start going, right? And I'm like, yes, right? Like, you know, you're right. I'm wrong, I suck, I'm a failure as a child, I don't deserve any responsibility. Clearly my life is not worth anything because I can't even drive on a road 12 hours without getting into two accidents, right? Like whatever it is, right? Like take away everything, you know? Like I will live as a hermit, kick me out of the house. And I'm like doing okay. Like I'm doing okay and I'm receiving it. And then my mom, bless her heart. As a kid, have you ever experienced this where you're getting yelled at something and then it's like, because the parents are like, oh, they're taking it, right? Like, and they're receiving it. Let me just add all the other grievances that I've been like holding up for like year, you know? And so then my mom's like, and you didn't make your eye appointment yet. And I'm like, what? And you know what I mean? And she just starts like wailing on me and I couldn't handle it anymore. Like I flipped out. I'm like, you know, I also have the potty mouth, right? So like I'm like, I bleep them. I'm sorry. I saw, you know, I'm just like, whatever. And I like run upstairs. I like kick the door. I like crack the wall, right? Like it was bad. I'm just causing a lot of destruction this day, right? I like throw myself on the bed and I'm crying. And I'm like, oh, right? Like every, like the world is so hard, you know? Yeah, that was not a good restoration process. It's not, you know, coming from, I think, maybe the power of the Spirit, right? Or when we get so intent, I've done the same thing. You know, I'm trying to correct people. Maybe I think I'm doing the best that I can to tell someone the way that they should go. I'm maybe getting a little hard on them or scolding them, whatever, which is fine. Maybe I don't realize. Maybe I'm just trying to make them more like me rather than really trying to bring them to God and let the Spirit do its work. It says, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or else you may be tempted. You know, all of the caution in here is not for the person who is being restored, it's for the restorer. Right? That's who Paul is concerned about. It's like, you be careful. You be careful that you don't become prideful and envying and... Whoops, let me move that over again. And then it goes in to say, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Starts getting a little bit pragmatic. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. It's more pride talk. And it says, if you want to restore people, be a community where you see people experience the restoration from sin, bring them to the Spirit, and then just start taking their stuff. It's an expansive command. It's not just like carry their sin burden, it's just carry burden of life. Carry, I don't know, the heavy thing that they're lugging around, right? Like, just start caring for that person. Show them the love of Christ. If you want to see them restored, just start doing things for them. Encouraging them. Praying for them. Helping them. It's a tricky statement. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. They can take pride in them. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Wait a second. It's weird, right? I'm supposed to carry their burdens, but then now everybody's supposed to carry their own load. I think if you kind of take it in context of the whole of Galatians and talking about how much God has done all of the work for you, I think that there's a little bit of like idea here. It's like if you weigh your own actions, you will see that you've haven't had to carry anything yourself, and you will have no pride. But there is a reality that everyone does carry their own burdens, their own sin, their own shame. Everyone is going to have to answer before God for all that they have done and have not done. So in the meantime, restore as much of sin as you can in each other's lives. It's kind of like odd, out of place statement. It feels like, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Some people think that this is a statement of just like affirmation of teachers. Paul was like under attack from the Galatian church, you know, and so maybe he's like, hey, like, I'm encouraging you this way, like, see me in this. And just You know, a very normal statement. I love this passage. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap their destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I don't think this is as much warning as it is exhortation of why we are supposed to be a community that restores as much as we can in our community, people, from their sin. Because we want to see people reap from the Spirit. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived that you don't bear any responsibility, that you have no role in your neighbor's life, that you don't have something that you can offer to help carry someone else's burden and restore them into relationship with the one who will do the transformation, the change. Why? Because everyone will reap what they sow. That's why it says in verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We are vessels of honor to do God's holy work. God does want to use us to do, I think, very much Jesus-like things. Restorative things, healing things, salvation things. He's given us his Spirit to continue to do. He tells his disciples, you will do greater works than I. You will do more than what I have done. Bible talks about the Spirit that God has given us is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I know it doesn't feel like that very often. But there is also a design and a way that God has designed, you know, like called us to experience this, to see this. And it's really hard because it's not up to us. It's not on our timetable. It's not by how much we how badly we want it to happen, how much we love and care for that person, you know, like doesn't always like speed the recovery process. How desperate we are, how much it hurts us to see a brother or sister, you know, like struggling, caught, entangled. But do not become weary, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I don't know if you remember, a number of years ago, there was a pretty big like series of shootings in Atlanta. Do you remember this? This one guy, he went to like a bunch of like Asian massage parlors and, you know, shot a number of people. And he is a Christian, or Christian, I don't know, however you want to say it. He was a part of a, you know, I think it's like a, you know, kind of just normal evangelical conservative church in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And the church came out with a statement. And they're like, you know, very normal, like, we condemn, we do not teach anything that aligns with what he has done. He was a part of our community, but we do not support or encourage or believe that anything that he did was right. You know, we condemn his actions in the fullest. I was like thinking, I think about this from a pastor's perspective. And I think about, how would I feel if that was somebody from my congregation? How would I feel That was somebody that sat in my church every week, that I ate with, that I talked with, that I prayed with, that I encouraged. And for me, I don't think I could help but feel a little responsible. There was another church in San Diego, or not another church, but there was another guy in San Diego. He went to a synagogue in the area, and he opened fire, and he killed a few people, or shot at people. I don't remember if any of them died in a synagogue. Also a believer, also attended a church. And the pastor came out with a statement. And he said, he was a part of our community, you know, he got these ideas from somewhere else. And we have a lot of soul searching to do at our church because he was one of us and he came from us. Everyone carries their own burden. Everyone will have to answer to God for what has happened in their life. I'm not refuting that at all. But God has designed us in community to be a part of the restoration of sin in each one of our lives. He has called us to be a part of getting people unstuck and untangled and maybe even uncaught, right, and restored. Not out of your own ability or not out of your own, like, oh, look, I've walked this road and I've done it and watch me and follow me. But in whatever way we can to encourage them back into relationship to see God, to experience the work of the Spirit in their life, that transforming work that we have no ability to do with our flesh, but we have responsibility to, like, make, you know, we have responsibility in it. Coming back has been, like, really fun for me, you know, to get to see some old faces, a lot of new faces. Nice to meet you. I won't lie though, like, you know, some of these pictures up here, some of these kids that I've seen as I'm hearing stories, I'm like, man, there have been some hard roads that any number of these youth have taken. Things that they are suffering from even now, dealing with struggles that they are having. And I can't help, and I think it's appropriate to feel that weight. Even though I have not been here for 18 years, I think it's appropriate that me, as part of this family, as this is my home, like to feel that pain. Like to feel that sorrow that, like, some of our kids are struggling, like, on their own. I think that's appropriate. I think that's what God wants. That's how God designed us to be. To not simply, you know, segment ourselves off and be like, oh, that was just how life is, or that's just what happens. We are meant to be more than that. We are vessels doing God's purposes. I do want to encourage you, you know, I know some of the parents here, like, they're, you know, some of your kids have
it's been hard. Maybe right now, some of your kids, right? Like, do not grow weary. Do not grow weary. Continue in your prayers. Life is long. I was telling some people, oh man, I wish I could just collect everybody back together again. But maybe God has a better something ahead. And if we continue to do good, if we continue to do the good work, the good purposes that God has given us, my trust is that we will reap a harvest. We don't get to see what it will look like. We don't get to predict how it's going to happen. But I believe that this is what the design, the purpose, right, that we have with one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your Spirit so much to be the one that does all of this work here in this community, your beautiful, transforming, forgiving, restoring, and healing, rebuking, and teaching work. Lord, and it's, I don't know, I just ask God that you would help us. Help us to once again just rely on your Spirit, to embrace the design of the community that you have given us. I pray, Lord, that you would put desire and even felt responsibility on our hearts, not in a way of blame, but in the weightiness of love and care and compassion. That this is a family. This is your family. And we are meant to care deeply, carry each other's burdens, to restore continually each one another to relationship with your Spirit, to watch ourselves from pride and being conceited. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would give us hope, that you would give us strength so that we would not become weary in loving one another, in caring for one another, in bringing one another to you. Lord, we trust your harvest is coming. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.